Hello and welcome to the first episode of Five and Out in 2015. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week, Steve, we have a very special first-time guest with us.
Woo!
Colin, how you doing, my friend?
I'm really good.
We've been wanting to get you on for a long time, and we're like, you know what? We're about to do... Well, Steve, what is this week's Top 5?
We just did the best of 2014 right before our little holiday break. So now it's time to come back and look at the other side, the worst of 2014.
Like, who better to join us than our good friend, Sir Colin? Because you were knighted recently.
I'm really good at the worst things.
I mean, if there's someone that can join me in examining the things that didn't quite measure up and letting them know about it, it's definitely Colin over here.
But before we begin, we had an email written in from last week's Top 5, which again was the best of 2014. This one is from Paul Mampilly.
Paul what? Mambilly?
Mampilly.
Oh, Mampilly.
Yep.
They said Mambilly.
That's kind of like Monopoly, but not like the same at all.
That's right.
It's similar, only not.
Right.
Good. His number 5 was the World Cup 2014.
Oh, yeah. It was a really good World Cup.
His number 4 was the Key and Peele. Have you seen... these sketches, mainly like the Family Matters sketch?
No, I haven't.
Look it up when you get home.
I've heard
YouTube.
About this.
It's hilarious.
All right.
Colin, yeah. You have the YouTubes right there.
Yeah, I could try to get this. What am I looking up here?
Key and Peele, Family Matters. But right. While he's doing that, his number 3 was Fargo, the TV series.
Damn it, another one.
I know, the best of.
I know.
His number 2 was... our actual podcast that he has discovered this year.
Aww.
Oh, Paul. Oh, we're ma'am. So sorry.
Oh, ma'am, Billy.
And their reaction is now going in the worst of 2015.
That's right.
I told these dudes I really liked their podcast, and they called me Ma'am Billy.
And his number 1 is Last Week Tonight.
Yeah!
With John Oliver.
All right.
Have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
It's delightful. YouTube that shit when you get
also
home.
Also a very worthy YouTube for sure.
But guys, we got a lot of show coming at you. Maybe our longest one yet. So with all that being said, let's start the show. Shooting back a long time. Remember about my huge rant against Greyhounds about a year ago?
No.
About how they're the most terrifying nightmare dogs in the world.
Greyhounds?
Oh,
Greyhounds.
I thought you were talking about the bus.
No, remember, like, they're so skinny, and they have, like, no neck, and they're just no body fat anywhere. They look like they're trained by the devil.
Okay. Mm.
Anyway, my neighbor just got a Greyhound, and it came up the back stairs, and it looked me in the eye, and it saw into my soul.
What did it see?
Then... and then it saw nothing but blackness, because that's all that's there.
So it's a kindred spirit in you.
Colin, how do you feel about Greyhounds? Pro?
You know, it's
against...
funny you should mention Greyhounds, because Ashley and I always talk about wanting to rescue a Greyhound. Because
no.
I fucking love Greyhounds.
Oh,
I love
God.
Them. And I think it's because they can see into your soul and enter your dreams.
That's right. That's nothing but nightmare fuel, dude.
Another fun fact about Greyhounds is that they're all named Forrest.
That's true. That's true. Funny story. Greyhound across the way is named Forrest.
That's right.
All
right.
Funny story. That Greyhound Forrest that lives next door is actually in Wes's bed right now. Fun story. We'll get the rest of that story later.
Oh, God. But anyway, that's what's going on with me.
Just your nightmares moved in next door.
Exactly.
I wonder why. I guess the Greyhound does have kind of a strange body shape to it, I suppose. But apparently they're like the laziest dogs in the world.
Yeah, that's why I want one.
Yeah, when they're not breakneck speed running. They're like, ah, fuck it. Like,
they look weird and they don't walk. They kind of ooze everywhere with their legs going everywhere.
Have you seen Greyhounds?
Yeah.
The or horror. Are you talking about a puddle?
Oh, that's right.
They're there and they're wafty. And just
that's
oozy.
What I meant. My neighbor's got a puddle. And they take it on walks. I don't know, man. This is going on with me. What's going on with you guys? What are you guys seeing? What are you guys playing?
One of the things I saw will be making an appearance later in the top 5.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, goody, goody.
Yes. Or the complete opposite of that. I got the game Shadow of Mordor for PS4 for Christmas. And it's, for those who have not played it, Real fun game. Real short game, though. So yeah. This $60 price tag on there, I find it to not be justified.
Yeah, that's always rough. When you're excited about a game. I always felt that way as a kid, actually, and get these games, and they would like I'd play them that day, and I'd beat them.
And well, like, great.
Thanks. Thanks for the present. You got
awesome.
Another one?
So I'm trying to do the very quick turnaround on this one, because I've already beaten it. I'm just trying to do like some of the little side things. And then I'm going to sell it.
Sell it for how much?
About 25 buckaroos.
You should talk to me about that, because I have 25 buckaroos.
Oh, well, all right, sir.
Yeah.
Perhaps I'll talk to you outside with my nightmare dog.
Oh, God!
Maybe we can make that $30 to $40.
But then are you going to get jealous when you're looking at Wes? Like, he's like, oh, it was kind of a short game, but luckily I only had to pay 25 bucks for it.
Yeah. Yeah, but God. What an idiot.
It's like Steve will sell to you for 40 bucks.
Great deal. Deal. I love it.
So, Colin, what have you seen? Are you watching anything? Are you playing anything right now?
Not watching a lot. Been pretty busy over at the office.
business.
So, no, and you know, a funny thing about me and video games is that I tend to just play old shit.
Sure.
Over and over. And you know this about me.
Of course, you showed me Mega Man.
Sit down there and play me some Mega Man. And
Soul Calibur.
Thumbs bleed. Yeah.
But your system of choice is the Super Nintendo, is that right?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Although it's been put away because it, you know, looks ugly. That's what happens when you have a wife.
That's why you need to get like an entertainment center just with some doors on the front of it.
So yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Sure.
Like a man cave.
Yeah. A little mini man cave like under your TV.
A little mini man cave in my one bedroom condo.
Yeah, that's all you need. Just all you need.
I can do this.
Yeah.
Sorry, the bedroom's now in the living room. Bedroom is now my man cave.
Kick your wife straight out. What is your favorite, if you had to say, like, top three favorite Super Nintendo games? Just come to mind right away.
Come to mind right away just because, like, nostalgic is probably... I go for the RPGs mostly, but probably Final Fantasy VI/3. Secret of Mana.
Okay.
It's always been a favorite of mine. And then, Wes, I'm trying to think what we would, like, play through back when we lived together.
I don't think we played much Super Nintendo. I think we played more GameCube.
I'm going to go with Mario World on this one.
There
like
you
number
go.
Three,
yeah.
Just because Mario World is such a like a big, it's a really a big world. It's
it
a
is.
Pretty long game, and there's little bonus things, and shit gets hard. And
it gets real hard. Older games do not hold your hand like current games do.
Yeah.
Like, hey, welcome here. Oh, you're dead. Whoops. Looks like we killed y'all.
Yep.
Colin, is that why all the games are so short? It's because the first time you died, you just put them away?
I beat it.
Yeah, I won. I won. I died.
Have any of you played or remember the Super Star Wars Empire Strikes Back game?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
That game was fucking brutal.
That's really hard.
Wait, yeah. for which system? Which one?
Super Nintendo.
I think the first Star Wars game I played probably wasn't... on console was the one for 64, the Shadow of the Empire.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's I didn't play the one on Super Nintendo. It was hard.
It was so hard, dude.
It's just shit flying by you all the time. It's
all
like
the
just
time.
Fucking. You put up your lightsaber and you hope for the best. But like, for the most part, it's like, you know, I mean, you can't do that shit that fucking Yoda does with.
Oh no.
CGI. You know, you just can't do that in that game. It's Super Nintendo. You just hold your fucking.
Those games are brutally hard. Some of them are brutally hard.
Yeah. That's probably the hardest game I've ever played.
When I was a kid, my mom bought me the original Batman game for Nintendo. And so I was, I don't know, maybe like 7 years old or something like that. I could not beat the first level.
Yeah. I mean, this shit gets ridiculous. Some of those old Nintendo games.
Oh, yeah.
Just unbelievable.
I don't think I ever got past like the third stage in Paperboy either.
Mm-hmm.
I sucked at Paperboy. I wanted to be good at that game. That game in Marble Madness? Yeah, do you remember that game?
Oh, yeah, man.
That game was so goddamn hard.
Yep.
Do you ever play that game, Wes?
No, I never have.
You control a marble in this, like, just this open, like, course that had, like, various, like, heights and like holes and stuff. You had to like go down little like planks to get to the next, and like, but you're playing with the quote unquote weight of this marble,
mm-hmm.
and it was so goddamn hard. Yep. Hated that game.
The game I probably found the hardest was that I always really wanted to beat, that I'd actually keep trying and thinking I could do it,
yeah.
was the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
game. Oh, my God.
And I'd always think, I'm like, oh, I can fucking do this, I can do this. And then I put the cheat, I put the Game Genie on it one time.
Yeah.
And I saw what that last level looks like. I saw what happens. Like, there is no way. There is no way you beat that game.
You peeked behind the curtain.
I peeked behind the curtain, and I did not like what I see. I was horrified. I was horrified.
Oh, so speaking of currently watching, playing, want to throw a recommendation out for the show Vikings, if you haven't seen it yet.
It's good.
It is a good show. It is. I was talking before that it's kind of like, right now would be a really great time to watch it because it is the filler, I feel like, of Game of Thrones. It's like the second cousin of Game of Thrones. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's good. It's not quite Game of Thrones, but it's good. It's good.
Sure.
So we're still, like 2 to 3 months from Game of Thrones. So if you're looking for something to get you, kind of ramp you up into Game of Thrones, I would highly recommend the first 2 seasons of Vikings. They are on Amazon Prime for streaming and other ways. I'm sure you can get it as well.
Very cool. Very cool. I definitely need some Game of Thrones stuff in my veins right now. So
stuff. Give me the good stuff.
Give me some of that shit right there. God. But I'm not really watching or playing anything else besides being scared of that dog across the street.
It takes up a lot of your time.
It really does. Guys, please don't leave after the podcast.
Wes, you look a little rough. When was the last time you got a good night's sleep?
Oh, God. About December 23rd, I think, is when last time.
For folks listening who actually can't see Wes, his face is literally melting.
That's right.
You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's very similar. Guys, I know there isn't much more boring things to discuss than the weather. To hear other people talk about the weather.
It's the lamest fucking thing in the world.
It is. It is. Especially like, hey, what's your weather like over there? Oh, God.
Like, you give a shit.
Like, I don't.
You're over there.
I don't care. But what I do care about is how badly the weather that we are currently facing messes with me. Like, in a so we're in Chicago right now. When I woke up this morning to go to work, -5 was the air temperature. Air, not wind chill, air temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's been pretty much this whole weekend, will be through the weekend, essentially. And we went through this stuff last winter, and we talked about it. But, dude, the fact that you wake up at what, like, whatever the hell you wake up, it's guaranteed to be dark.
Yep.
It is dark.
Yep.
And then you get to work, and on your way, you have maybe half hour of sunlight, maybe 10 minutes, whatever. You get to work, you stay in there all day, and guaranteed when you're leaving for whatever way to get home, it's fucking dark.
Yep.
Guaranteed. It's the worst. I hate the fucking winter. Pardon my language, but it's the worst.
It's not, it just kind of ruins your day. You know, and it ruins a string of days in a row, and those days are Monday through Friday. It ruins them all.
It's like
flicking a domino, man.
And sometimes it's Saturday and Sunday, too. Just totally ruined. If it's like sleeting or hailing, awful.
It's terrible, dude. I find myself, when I leave work at 5-ish, I'm tired because my body doesn't understand why there's no sun when I leave and I get home and like I can't go outside because it's too cold. I can't take my dog out to do anything. It's too cold. So I just sit there. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just sit here.
Then when you do take your dog outside, as you were telling us earlier.
Oh, my God. This made my heart just like jump out of my chest with fear that. So I was leaving Wes's house yesterday, and I took Luna outside. She went to the bathroom. We walked a couple feet, and she started doing like the limp thing with because her paw was so cold. I was like, it's okay. We're just like we're half a block away to the car. Here we go. And her other paw also like freezes, and she doesn't know what to do. So she just face plants into the snow. Her front half just said, I give up. I can't do it. And her back half was still like, we can make it to the car. But she's like pushing her face.
Pushing her face through the snow. Like,
So now her face is freezing. So like, I saw her just fall, and I was like, "Oh!" It's like, "No, my little puppy." So I whatever I was carrying, I dropped in the snow. I picked her up and I like threw her into the car to warm her up. It's like, but things like that. It's like, no, no, winter. No.
It's awful, man. And of course, it had to wait until the new freaking year, because it wasn't like this December 31st or any time prior.
Oh, it's so bad.
It makes me think of like the moment in Terminator 2 when T-1000?
That's the Arnold. The
T-1000 is Robert Patrick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that's, Robert Patrick. Yeah.
Yeah,
when Robert Patrick is like getting frozen and he's trying to walk.
Oh yeah, yeah. And, like, liquid nitrogen.
All of a sudden, a fucking leg comes off. He's still going, man. He's like, he's still trying. Like, to me, that's Luna. Like, just like, I got this.
Yeah, no, no. Luckily, no one came up on a conveyor belt and shot her with an RPG, which is good.
Yet,
which is really. There is a Greyhound next to her.
That's right.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So I just wanted to share my just general loathing. Well, because it makes me. I get in such a funk, man.
Sure.
Such a funk.
Can I share my general loathing? Same deal as you, except I work from home full time, so I can never leave my apartment.
Period.
Otherwise, I'll turn into the T-1000 trying just to go to Target.
I mean, there's also a Greyhound floating around out
there. I know.
You don't want to fuck around.
Don't
man.
Remind me.
Stay in here. You're an indoor kid.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I have to order out for my groceries, have them brought to me. Beware the Greyhound.
By the way, little Peapod.
I've never used Peapod, but I'm familiar with it. It's basically a grocery delivery service to your house is basically what it is. Google is now getting into that arena. Did you see this?
No.
It's like Google Express or something like that. They sent me something in my email. So they work with a couple of the like Walgreens and blah, 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 whatever else. It's like we'll give you a free 3-month membership to try it out, whatever. It's like, well, I'll see what the prices are and stuff and like whatever. For like a 2-liter of Coke, go to any grocery store around here, it's $1.10, something mm-hmm. like that. It's regular 2-liter Coke. It is $3.50 on Google Express.
What?
It's like, wow, the savings are just piling up already, aren't they?
That's ridiculous.
Turns out only people from Google use the service.
Because they're the only ones that can afford. I know That's this right. is, it's more for like rich people who, you know, their work 13 hours a day at their high powered, attorney's sure. office or whatever. And they're like, oh, I don't have time for grocery shopping. But still.
How are you going to get your 2-liter of Coke?
So get fucking takeout. Don't, you know, like, why get a Coke from the fucking grocery store? Get a fucking pizza, man.
Fuck.
For fuck's sake, man.
Jesus.
I mean, seriously, if you're that rich, I wouldn't cook anything.
That's right.
It's when I see Google going into this avenue and all this, they do all really cool stuff. Like the driverless cars is really cool. Some like
yeah.
all sorts of cool stuff. It's like, man, we're going to overcharge you on delivery groceries. Like, Google, what are you doing?
Are the Google glasses, are those like widespread commercially?
No.
No, okay.
No, they're basically like universally panned at this point.
Okay, okay. Last I heard about them, they were like, you can see what your partner sees during sex.
Hey! I think the CFO wears them. That's about it.
That's
I
right. Think that's,
yeah, there were a whole... There's a lot of issues with them. Both yeah. of people just be like, oh, hi, how are you? Yoink! Stolen! So they're in, like, California near Google headquarters. They were just pulling them off people's faces and running away. So they were doing that. And also there was a lot of issues with people, like, we don't want people wearing them because they could be recording us at any time, like coming in for meetings, coming in for interviews, coming in to see movies at movie theaters, like,
oh shit, like, I didn't even looking think about
at,
that.
Like standing behind someone at the bank while they're putting their PIN number in, mm-hmm. like all sorts of
or
stuff.
Or while they have a low cut blouse.
Yeah, that's or right. that.
That's right.
Of course, then that's obvious, isn't it?
I feel like I've looked down a blouse or two. It's not super obvious.
what you're saying is that's pretty much like being Iron Man without
yeah.
the armor.
Yeah, but like an annoying surveillance Iron Man.
But guys, how am I ever going to see what my partner sees during sex?
Trust me, it's better this way. Trust me.
Well, guys, shall we move into this week's top five?
We shall, and I think we should let our special guest of the evening lead us off with his number five.
But first, Steve, we should tell the people out there what our top five is this week. And what is our top five, Steve?
Well, a couple weeks ago, we did our best of 2014. And man, there was some great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is time to flip that coin.
Then winter set in.
And now I hate everything.
That's right.
So we're going to be recapping the worst of 2014.
And there was plenty to choose from.
Plenty to choose from. So,
and if you thought that we were dropping a lot of F-bombs before, sir or madam, you just wait.
So only caveats on this, that it has to be, of course, from the world of TV, video games, and or movies, and that it had to have happened in 2014.
That is correct.
So with that, Colin.
Very good. Not a lot of limitations there, which makes it very difficult to come up with all the royal turdy fucking crap that's out there. And I don't play a lot of video games, and I didn't watch a lot of movies this year. I definitely got into some TV, but we do a lot of streaming these days, so
yeah, absolutely.
Sure, tough.
But anyway, I did come up with the top five. It might be a little bit unique.
Good.
Which is good. So we're gonna start with number five.
That's correct.
And that number five is going to be a Gary Busey commercial. And that commercial that I'm referring to is, of course, the fucking piece of shit commercial for
Amazon.
The Amazon TV or something.
Yeah.
And it involves him holding it in one hand in a fucking seashell in his other hand. And they're like, you know who's really funny? You know who's a real stand-up guy? Gary Busey. Let's get him in here. He'll really charm the audience, and they'll buy our product. And at the end of it, they got him fucking trying to stuff a seashell into the USB port. And he's doing this, laugh. I don't think it's acting. I think he's actually that fucking crazy.
I think you're... No, he is.
That's right.
And
he didn't even know they were recording at that point.
And he actually brought the seashell with him.
The seashell better fucking be in this commercial. I'm not doing it.
So as we enter into the world of the best commercials in the world of the Super Bowl, as that nears, it made me think that I should include a commercial on this list. And that's the one I chose.
Did you ever see the show I'm with Busey?
No, a little bit. Clippings. Less like... actual.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people sat down and watched whatever the 10 episodes there were of I'm with Busey, but basically just Gary Busey being batshit crazy and this dude that follows him panning to the camera, shaking his head.
He's crazy.
It seems like a weird selection from Amazon. I don't know what they're trying to capture with the Gary Busey dynamic.
I think that's what got it on the list for me. It was what's the? It's not that it's not maybe funny to watch him try to plug a seashell into the USB, but what? Why? What is this?
Guys, you know who's great with a young crowd? Justin Bieber. But if we can't get Justin Bieber, we're gonna get Gary Busey.
I don't know who they were trying to appeal to with a Gary Busey commercial.
Jake Busey, maybe?
No. Jake wants nothing to do.
All right. Well, sir, to recap, your number five was...
Number five, Gary Busey Amazon TV commercial. Absolutely.
All right. Well, my number five, I'm going large. You went small with a commercial. I'm going large with a video game company. I'm going with Ubisoft, with the exception of Far Cry 4. Ubisoft fucking sucked it up. In 2014, not only did they pimp the shit out of the ultimately super lackluster Watch Dogs.
Is my number three, by the way.
Holy shit. Well, we'll get there.
Shut up and let me talk.
Come on. I just wanted to mention it. And not only did they totally fuck up the releases of Assassin's Creed Unity and Assassin's Creed Rogue. Have you guys heard about what's going on with Unity? How many errors and glitches there are in that?
No.
Recently, I think a month ago, they had to release a bunch of patches. The latest one on Xbox One is over 40 gigs.
Whoa.
That's larger than the game itself to fix the issues in the game.
It's not a patch. It's I need another pant leg.
Right.
Actually, I lost half my pants. can you just sew this right up the crotch?
And they're really catching some flack that a lot of their games are... pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Open world, you need to go to a tower to see the rest of the map, and then you do a bunch of shit around the open world. And then, to top it off, and I'll mention this again later on my list, but do you guys remember about when the spokesperson, one of the spokespeople for Ubisoft, were talking about why they couldn't do a woman protagonist for an Assassin's Creed game?
No, I don't recall.
He said that he kind of like stumbled a bit, and he was like, because it'd be too difficult to animate. What?
As a giant spider breaks down a building and like shoots fire.
And, boobs are too hard.
Can't do hard.
I can't do boobs.
Too hard.
I can't.
Nope.
Yeah.
Spider boobs? Totally do spider boobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't do real boobs.
I don't even give spider boobs legs of their own.
So, yeah. They fucking sucked it up all year, well, with the exception of Far Cry 4.
Well, the reason I had Watch Dogs at number 3, I know, Connor, you haven't played a bunch of games this year, but the reason I was super excited about this game, Watch Dogs, A, it's kind of like a Grand Theft Auto-ish style game, but it is set in Chicago, not in a fictional...
So you're going, like, down streets you know.
Exactly.
You're like,
you drive down, like, the theater district, you see the Chicago theater, you see...
Right.
Like, at least very, like, close.
What you're saying is you know where you're going.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like... Let him know. Take it right here. Yeah. Take it right here. We can lose the cops in this alley. Or...
Ooh, stop at that Five Guys. Stop at that Five Guys.
So the idea of a game actually set in what is a very, very close approximation to Chicago, I'd say. I mean, it's obviously not every single street and stuff, but at least the Chicago feel. And the idea of it being this first next-gen game in this open world, you know, Grand Theft Auto style game. Like, yeah, oh, my God, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
When it's winter in the game, the protagonist actually never leaves his house. Yeah. It's great.
And there's that hellhound that is outside of you at all times.
That's right.
Then I got it, and it sucks. It feels like a crappy Grand Theft Auto in a crappy version of Chicago, because they didn't get the rights to do, it's like this year, or excuse me now, the Willis Tower or a couple of other things. So like, it's this bastardized version of Chicago with this just generally crappy, really uninteresting storyline, uninteresting little side missions. And it's like, this game sucks. This game just sucks.
And it would have been a fine, okay game, except they littered TV, the internet, everywhere you could look at with promotional material for this game, and it all looked great.
Yeah.
Got everyone's excitement, got everyone's blood rushing.
Yeah, and it's like the E3 video of it initially, like, oh man, that game looks awesome. And that was the greatest thing about the whole game.
That's
so
right.
So that was my number 3, is Watch Dogs. So I'll throw something in there a little bit later.
Cool. Steve, do you want to do your number 5?
I would love to do my number 5.
All right.
Okay. I always make this mistake. There are 3 directors in Hollywood. 2 of them are good. 1 of them is bad. They all share the last name Anderson. 1 of them is W.S. Anderson. He fucking sucks. He's the one that did Resident Evil and Aliens vs. Predator. There's Paul Thomas Anderson, who did Boogie Nights and There Will Be Blood. And there's also Wes Anderson, who did, we all know from Moonrise Kingdom, Royal Tenenbaums. So when I find out there is a movie about, like, ancient, you know, Greek time called Pompeii, directed by what I thought was going to be Paul Thomas Anderson, and probably not Wes Anderson, but Paul Thomas Anderson. I was like, oh, my God. The guy that did There Will Be Blood and Boogie Nights is doing this, like, I was like, oh, it's going to be great. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's the shitty Anderson. W.S. Anderson. The one that's married to Mila Jovovich and puts her in everything. And all of his movies suck. So I was like, I didn't want to see Pompeii once I realized it was that Anderson. And my wife is like, you know what? I want to watch it. And I was like, you know what? Fine. I'll fall asleep anyway. Let's watch it. Redboxed it. It stars Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And it is bad.
No.
It's just bad.
Jesus.
It's just one of these things where, like, it starts like, oh, wow, what a beautiful landscape. Like, okay. And you can be done. You can be done there. It keeps like showing the volcano where it's like it pans to it like it's the villain. Like it's like bum bum
oh,
bum.
We all know what happens.
It's just nothing interesting happens for so long, and you know what happens. You know the goddamn volcano
yeah, but,
erupts.
Yeah, I mean, do you see Jon Snow's body glistening?
Yeah, in ash. They're just like walking around Pompeii like, oh my, our lives are so difficult. Like,
oh. The volcano over there might erupt.
Oh, surely that will never happen. Ma. Let's train this horse.
It's just got a little tummy ache, that's all.
It's like, why is this horse so scared? I don't understand. Like, oh my God, why aren't you dying?
How long is the movie?
Too long.
Is it over 2 hours? 2.5?
I don't think it's over 2.5.
Okay,
but it honestly.
Oh Christ, that would be.
It's Jon Snow walking around half naked in a field with a horse for quite some time, and
just toward that volcano.
Yeah, him and the horse get freaky at any point.
And you know what? That was a highlight of the film for me.
Yeah.
Pompeii just sucked, and it's. You can tell, like, here's your budget. It's a damn big budget. Where would you like to put your money, shitty Anderson? So you can put it into the story. You can put it into your actors. Or you can put it into your CGI. CGI, please!
Now, how awesome would it have been if they pull like a bait and switch on you? Where it's like, you think the volcano would erupt. But actually, Pompeii was leveled because of a zombie outbreak.
It would have been so much better.
Thank you.
Or if this were a Wes Anderson movie about just like a quirky, weird group of people in Pompeii, in the very end of the movie, it's like they finally resolve something. Like, oh, what is that? And slowly, like, one piece of ash like settles on their table. Huh. Like, Wes Anderson, you're a brilliant man. Brilliant. Brilliant. Paul Thomas Anderson, you cast Daniel Day-Lewis as the volcano, and it is amazing.
Yep.
But we got shitty Anderson.
Man.
So I will try in the future not to confuse my Andersons.
Yeah, be careful.
But
they're spelled the same.
They are those bastards. Mm-hmm. And they've all got like the middle name / like Wes Anderson, then W.S. Anderson.
Well, that's
that's tricky. And then you've got Paul Thomas Anderson. So then you've got the W.S. They got the P.T. Too many names. Too many alternate names. I hate them. No, I don't. I don't hate them. I hate singular Anderson. So, anyway, my number 5 worst thing was Pompeii.
Mm. Can't wait to hear the next 4. To
be honest with you after that. Well, Colin, what is your number 4?
All right, number 4, moving into it. So, I am a fan, you know, for better or worse, of the TV show that concluded this year, Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, no!
What I am not a fan of is the ridiculous piece of shit afterword that they decided to have because The Walking Dead was having such a success with their little afterword TV show. So number 4 for me is Anarchy Afterword.
Okay, real quick, I watched the first... How many seasons are there total? 7?
I think it's 7.
Okay, I watched up through like 6.5, so please don't...
No spoilers.
Okay, just want to make sure, that's all.
No spoilers. I just want to say that what's his name?
Chris Hardwick?
No, he Trick actually Sutter. Did. Frangiola. Is that right?
Who's that?
Who?
I believe the person that began hosting Anarchy Afterward this year
okay.
was Chris Frangiola.
Oh.
Is that?
I don't know.
He was a turd in a chair. He was awful. He was awful. But then on top of that, the first one I watched, it's got Mark Boone Jr. like, must have been fucking wasted. I don't know. He's like... making this organ all Chris Frangiola concerned. Oh, live TV. He's like coming and sitting on his lap and shit, and like getting mad at him for sitting at the table. And it's just like it was the most awkward thing to try to watch. And then he Frangiola gets booted off the show, or just he's got a busy stand up schedule.
Sure.
So Kurt Sutter takes over the afterword, and it's just. He and whatever actor jizzing on each other's faces. And yeah. I just like, you know, yeah. I just thought it was a waste of time, and it pissed me off because sometimes I'd get home late and I'd want to watch you know, the next run of it, but yeah. they'd always have to wait like an extra hour and a half for these jackasses to get done talking.
How long did it run for, like an hour, that talkback thing?
Yeah, like, yeah, at least an hour. Yeah.
Ugh.
What? Oof. Did they break down every single scene of the show? How can you go for an hour?
I mean, it's just like, you know, Walking Dead has it figured out. They've got like this cool thing. They're like, recap all the zombie deaths or people yeah. that, you know, like, I don't know if you watch those ever, but the Talking Dead afterwards.
The Talking
it's actually
Dead, yeah.
kind of entertaining to watch that. And Anarchy Afterward is the absolute opposite of that, in my opinion.
A lot more jizzing in Anarchy Afterward, it
sounds
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, I just, it didn't need that. Just let the show be the show.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I'm so glad I missed it. I'm so
yeah.
glad
so,
I missed
and,
it.
I mean, don't waste your time with any Anarchy Afterwards.
Got it.
I don't know why you would watching them again, though. It's just, it's. I think it's one of those things people are like watching on TV.
And then it
and
comes
then
right
afterwards.
After.
They're yeah. like, oh, I might as well sit and watch this. And listen to this actor talk about how they got into character. And really, it's just the actor going, I'm really, really fucking important.
For an hour and a half. Awesome. Awesome.
Great. Longer than the actual show. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So your number four was?
Anarchy Afterward.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Or as it's called, Jizzfest. So my number four is House of Cards Season 2.
Really?
Did anybody else watch this? Anybody else watch this?
Yeah.
You watched it?
Yeah.
You liked it?
Uh-huh.
Why?
I don't know. No, I did like it, man. It's fucking, you know, twisted and evil, and I just, it's kind, you know, it's even kind of violent. I liked it.
Sure, sure. All right. Here's my reasons. I felt that this season was so super bogged down by that main plot between him and what's his, Raymond Tuttle or something like that?
Tusk?
Tusk. Raymond Tusk. Super huge pissy match between him and Tusk. I was bored with it. And plus, the president, I have never seen a dumber president on film.
Because dumber presidents have existed.
That's true.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying.
You're fine.
They're not out of bounds on this.
No, you're fine. And then finally, they turned one of my favorite characters in the first season, Doug Stamper, into just a fucking crazy, obsessed stalker. So that's why I didn't like House of Cards season 2.
He was a little stalky, wasn't he?
A little stalky. He was incredibly stalky.
He was a little weird. That actor's good, though. I like that guy.
He's great. I understand I'm probably in the minority, but for me, House of Cards was one of the worst things I have seen this year. And the first season was so good. That's why the second season was so heartbreaking for me.
So I got to ask you, though, like, what were there, like 10 episodes? Is that right?
13.
13 episodes. When you got to episode 10, what made you go on to episode 11? By then, you must have realized what a stinker you were dealing with here.
It's true.
I mean,
this is
what kept you going, Wes. There's no hope at that point. You're beyond the halfway point. You're beyond, like, there's no turning back.
See, this has been well documented on this show. I am a completionist. So when I start something, I finish it out.
I'm doing a little bump action here because my number three was stolen. It's going to be... I just want to make a quick reference. I don't think this is on either of yours. I mentioned to Wes earlier that I watched The Rock, the Dwayne The Rock Johnson version of Hercules this year.
Man, you and your big, like, fucking, like, just men with greasy chests.
Dude,
on.
I love
that shit.
Love it. Like, give me some Jean-Claude Van Damme back in the day. Give me, like, roided out Stallone. I love it. No doubt. And I don't hate The Rock Hercules. What I do hate is the other studio that did it, but they're like, The Rock's Hercules is coming out in a few months. Quick, someone get this dude in a Hercules movie. And they made the other Hercules movie.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one, but I just hate when companies do that, where they're like, remember, like when Volcano was coming out, and they're like, Dante's Peak, quick, everyone, like, get another one out there. Like, just the...
With Armageddon and what was that, Deep Elijah
Impact.
Wood? And, yeah.
Yeah. They just do they're doing that movie? We got to do a version of that, too.
Yep.
I hate it when they do that. This is a quick little mention, but my real honorable mention in there is the movie Divergent.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
You know, just to recap on the year so I could decide I looked at a bunch of other, like, lists of just movies and stuff, and that one's on every single list.
So I think we've all seen Hunger Games.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think a couple of us have read it. We know this is like, we like, generally speaking, people like the Hunger Games.
It's like its own genre. I assume that's where you're going.
Yeah.
It's like kind of got that, I don't even know what the name for that genre is. Like,
so, and yeah, it's this young, like pre-teen-ish almost, like, demographic. We're like, you know what? That's a fun story, and like, it's not for me, but that's, all right, cool. Divergent is like, hey, remember Hunger Games? You know, the movie like that just came out? We're doing this same fucking thing.
Only worse.
Only, it's going to suck way more. And we're going to make a million of them. It's honestly, I listened to the audiobook of Divergent because I actually didn't really know what it was. And I was like, oh, what the hell? I'll listen to it on my way to and from work. I told Wes about it. And so I listened to it, and I was like, "Yeah, it's okay." But I'd like to watch the movie now that it's, you know, now that I have this context for the book. Oh my god, it sucks! And you know what? I just realized it's also based in Chicago.
No,
it takes place in this not post-apocalyptic, but kind of post-apocalyptic, and it follows this teenage girl, and she's just like, "I don't understand my feelings."
Like, my wife was supposed to be in that movie.
Was
like,
she really?
They were just as like extras or featured extras. They like tapped her, the high school she teaches at, Chicago Academy for the Arts. They like tapped him for the, they need a bunch of kids.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, hey, you know, you guys want to be in this movie? And then apparently like producer or casting director switched, so it ended up not happening.
Sure. Oh.
Well,
sure.
You know what? Yeah. Good for your wife not being associated with this. Because it's probably, she'd have to hide it on her resume. Like, but it basically, it is just, it's the same exact goddamn principles of Hunger Games. Like, oh, I'm a strong, independent girl, but there's this really handsome boy, and I don't know if I like him or not. It's like, and here's some sort of evil dictator that's effing up my life because I'm the one special person that could take this whole thing down.
But what about that
Donald
boy?
Sutherland? It's Kate Winslet. Oh. And Kate Winslet, you can tell, and she's like, wow. I'm getting paid. Whoa.
Yeah, ever since you let Jack die, I knew that bitch was evil.
She's the worst. Terrible. She's the worst.
Terrible.
And she's in the worst movie. That is Divergent. And I just saw the preview for Divergent 2, whatever the hell it's called.
Insurgent, I believe.
Insurgent. Resurgent. I don't.
Unsurgent.
I don't know.
Emergent.
But it's, Divergent is just, like, everything you like about Hunger Games, just give that about a 15%. Oh, did you like an attractive girl? Well, she's certainly no Jennifer Lawrence, but she's meh. She's all right, I guess.
Did you like the good acting? Well, these people have lines.
No, I mean, they're on camera, right?
That's right.
So I'm just going to go with Divergent in there, and also just a quick little mention of, like, follower movies and like knockoff shitty versions of things.
Was this only your honorable mention, Divergent?
Yeah.
Jesus. I can't wait till we get to your number one.
Me too, actually.
You're gonna have a fucking stroke.
You know this is my favorite time of the year. We've just finished up with the holiday bullshit cheer, and now it's time for the negative five chilling recap of the year.
Good God. All right, Colin, you're number three.
Number three. And I did this on purpose.
Oh.
Is a third movie in a trilogy of movies. Let's God hope it's a trilogy of movies. And it's called Expendables 3.
Oh. So have you seen all three?
Oh, I watched it, Steve. I watched it and it was bad. It was so bad. I like was embarrassed that I was watching it. I was so embarrassed. I still feel ashamed that I watched that movie. Do you know how it ends? Can I tell you how it ends? This is no spoiler alert. I guess maybe it is if you're an idiot. The movie ends. They're all in a crowded. Have you guys seen it?
I've seen one and two.
Okay.
I haven't seen any of them.
It's in a crowded fucking bar, and it's the old farts and the young people. And the young people are singing Neil Young's Old Man. Karaoke at a bar, and they're singing, "Oh man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you." That fucking happens. That happens in Expendables 3. I mean, I wish I could pull up the financials because it probably made a killing.
It did not.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
It did not. This was the first one that, like, it's actually, luckily, they're, like, the income of these movies, the earnings of this movie is actually corresponding to how good they are. The first one I had a lot of fun with. I had a lot of fun with the first one.
Well, you know, and it's like, I hate to compare it to The Hangover, but I mean, like, it's like when you got a gimmick or whatever, like, yeah. it's all fun the first time.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And it's like,
the first one did well, and a lot of, like, if you're, again, of course, I was just saying, give me the roided out Stallone, give me, all the people I love are in the first, like,
yeah.
It's great. Terry Crews running around with an automatic shotgun, blowing stuff up was super fun. Made a lot of money. Two, I didn't care for as much, didn't make as much money. Three did bad.
Oh, yeah, man. It's, well, I mean,
well, didn't they get Kelsey Grammer in this
they
one?
They got fucking Kelsey Grammer in the goddamn thing. What the, what is he thinking?
Why is he in an action movie?
And, here, you know, the movie starts off and you're like on this fucking, you know, it's like this prison, it's like it's prison train going to super prison. It's a super prison train going to a super prison.
Super.
The super expendable team is going to get the super prisoner because it's one of theirs. And who is it? Wesley Snipes.
Oh, tax evader.
You know what he does?
Wesley
he's a fucking knife guy. Like, you already have a knife guy. Why
isn't Jet Li the knife guy?
Oh, no, Jason Statham.
Jason
Statham.
Yeah, he does it through the basketball on the dude on the court in, like, I think the first one. Yeah,
and Arnold plays a bigger role in this one. Like, he's actually part of the team, and he actually says, "Get to the chopper."
Oh,
he actually has that line.
That's actually
get to the chopper.
That's pretty great.
That's the only good part of the movie.
That's pretty great. Speaking of old Arnold, did you see that there is a new Terminator coming out?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And it sucks because that sucks. But also, Daenerys?
Yeah.
It's yes. Emilia Clarke.
Yep.
Emilia
She's
Clarke.
She's like the main. Yep.
And, like, I want Emilia Clarke to do well because I like her. But I don't want her in this. No.
This is not, what is it with these Game of Thrones people, man? They're not making good career
they
moves.
They are not, man. They are. And you would think, I mean, a lot of them are going to get killed off, so you want to have these things locked in.
Sure, like, sure.
A lot of them die. Like, poor Robb Stark, he just got where people are like, yeah, I like Robb Stark. And he did, like, a PBS movie. It's the best he could do out of it. Jon Snow's in West P.B. Anderson's shitty Popeye. Like, no one else has been able to capitalize on the fame.
Well, I mean, if you're Emilia Clarke, like, you're making the Game of Thrones money, which is no paltry sum, let's be honest, but then they write you a check with so many zeros.
Sure.
For to be part of the Terminator franchise.
Sure. I can't complain about a girl getting paid.
But we can complain about Kit Harington. It's like, you're gonna be in this movie that's about a volcano blowing up, but we're just gonna be 2.5 hours of bullshit before that.
You realize in Expendables 4, it is just gonna be the entire cast of Game of Thrones plus all the old
right, yeah.
Plus Breaking Bad, the whole, like, it's everyone who's ever been in anything, I need you on this.
And of course they've added all this whole young crew, but most notable I think is Ronda Rousey. Am I saying that correctly?
I don't know.
It's the MMA fighter. She's a MMA champ. Like, she's a fucking badass.
She they can't get in, like, they can't find people to fight her. She's killing everybody.
And, like, as bad as she is in the ring, she's that bad on the screen. And I refer to her acting there.
That's
rough.
She's
not that there's much to go with there. It's like,
yeah,
you know, and I just can't see her as a hot piece of ass because her thighs are like they would punch me in the face. Like, like, they're just like, she's just far too, like, muscular for me to be like, ooh, hubba hubba.
You know, like, hubba hubba.
You know, it's just, I don't know.
I got a little hubba hubba for a previous MMA woman that tried to make the jump, was Gina Carano.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, baby.
Love her.
But anyway, so Expendables 3. That's number 3.
That's number 3.
That's thrice.
All right. Well, my number 3. Let's talk about some Game of Thrones. Minor spoilers for the third episode of Game of Thrones. Is everyone here caught up? I know you are.
I'm all good. Yeah, I'm good.
You all caught up? I'm going to talk about the rape scene in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward. Not what happens in the book at all. Apparently it's a very consensual thing in the book, and it's clear that it's consensual. Why I bring this up is because this happened in the show that's wonderful, but it makes everyone go like, what the fuck just happened there? And it's never spoken of again. I don't know why they decided to make it. an assault scene next to Cersei's dead son and then never talk about it again?
Yeah, you're right. And I know part of the explanation of that, that they released, like, oh, no, at the end of that scene, like, it was, you know.
It was no longer rape.
Yeah, it was consensual. She wanted it, like, but however they wanted to get around. It definitely felt like, oh, who? But you know what? One of the things going for Game of Thrones is that there are very, very few punches pulled on anything, on anything, anywhere in that show. So, I'm not in any way, shape, or form, am I, you know, just, I'm only talking about the storytelling of Game of Thrones. For there to be a rape scene in any show that I actually really enjoy, like, that is the show that can do it. And we're like, oh, well, that just means that that man is going to have a horrible, horrible, horrible death coming shortly. Like, we've seen the worst things you can see in Game of Thrones, and everyone still comes back to it. So I wish that it was not different than the book. I don't want that to be like an artistic choice that they put into the show for whatever reason. But I mean, really complex subject matter and like dark subject matter is not anything new for Game of Thrones. So that's why I was like, yeah, it's awkward, but I guess I didn't know it wasn't in the book as well.
Yeah, it was like, very consensual in the book.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the decision making behind it, the way it was directed, and then how it was never addressed again in the show, and it was such a huge deal. Sure. That's all of that accumulates to my number three.
All right. Okay. My number three is going to be kind of a lead in to my number two.
Oh.
So I'll leave that little cliffhanger right there. My number three is another film, because I found films to be the most disappointing thing of this year.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And my number three is The Amazing Spider-Man Part 2.
Also on every single list I looked up.
Has anyone seen it?
I almost rented it on my on-demand, and I'm glad I didn't.
I talked about this with Wes previously, but if you recall, in the original Spider-Man series that was going on, the Tobey series. Tobey Maguire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tobey Man. Yep.
Yeah. They hit the real issue in Spider-Man 3, the movie that will never be spoken of again, when they added like 9 villains and just terrible pacing and like...
Right.
And that's exactly what they did in the second movie of this series. Like, wow, the first one went really well. People were really receptive to it. They were kind of weird. They're like, oh, man, we're doing another Spider-Man already. But they really liked it. Let's do 3 villains again. And let's make them all suck and be stupid. Let's cast Paul Giamatti and never use him. Let's cast Jamie Foxx, Academy Award winning Jamie Foxx, and let's make him suck. Let's cast this other
like a
dude.
Pet project. Like, let's find a way to make Jamie Foxx just really suck.
And as much as we make him suck, let's make this no-name actor. Let's really try to pull out some gems out of him. Guess what? One of those things worked, and it was making Jamie Foxx suck. They accomplished that goal. So you have Rhino, which makes with Paul Giamatti, who does almost nothing, and he's comically bad. Mm-hmm. You have Electro, which I didn't even know this until today, that because I don't read the comic books, but Electro, apparently, the backstory of him is he is just like a shitty criminal that gets superpowers just like by chance. He's like, so the idea of him is like, what if some just kind of generally crappy dude then got superpowers? And that's what you have with Electro. And then, but the Jamie Foxx version that they wrote into Amazing Spider-Man 2 is he's this like real quiet science nerd and like, no one's ever liked me. And except for Spider-Man, Spider-Man's my friend. And then Spider-Man's like, hey, dude, why don't you chill out? He's like, Spider-Man hates me! I'm going to kill everyone! It's like, what is that? What? That happens, and then, of course, at the end, just typical Spider-Man fashion, let's bring in a Green Goblin, huh?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? You think the movie's over? Let's have a Green Goblin for an extra 40 minutes of movie you didn't ask for. Let's have that. And let's not forget at some point, Electro, in the middle of his big fight with Spider-Man, starts playing like organ music on these like pipes that are coming out of New York. He's just like, bum, 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 with his electro powers on these. It's like, why? Why are you doing this? Spider-Man is trying to kill you. Shouldn't you be trying to kill him? There is a few nice moments, as I mentioned before, between Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit through 38 minutes of just, oh, God, please. Please, no more. And then you get a nice little moment, and then you do that. The rinse and repeat. Rest. It's terrible. So they've ruined. So it took them three movies to ruin the franchise last time. It's taken them two this time.
Well, there's a third on the way, though. I believe.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And a Sinister Six movie.
Great.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
Wait, let me ask you both. Were you in the theaters for Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Expendables 3?
No.
No, absolutely not. Thank God.
Red-boxed. Okay. Red-boxed.
Good. Good for both of you. All right.
So then my number three now is Amazing Spider-Man 2. All
right.
My number two, and I might get a little emotional about this.
Oh, no.
I'm tired of watching them try to put live fucking things, performance-wise, on the goddamn screen. It's not necessary. Go see a fucking play. Peter Pan Live is my number two.
Ooh, nice.
Peter Pan Live. Like, what about Sound of Music made you go, you know what? I think we're onto something here. Like, I think we got something really special. Let's put a live thing. Like, these guys don't do live shit. That's the problem. Like, it's like live TV. Watch the news. Great. Watch a fucking sports game. Great. Like, let's do a play, and just like film it, but give it some like special effects or you know whatever it may be. But like, it's just the poorest concept in the world, and I watched it piecemeal. Like, I didn't even watch the whole thing, but like, you know, you read everything, and it's just like, what the fuck? And, like, who thought, like,
you know who should play Captain Hook? Christopher Walken.
That man.
I was just watching Pulp Fiction. And I thought to myself, that's a Captain Hook.
When he was talking about putting a watch up his ass, that was like, you know what? How Captain Hookish.
And I feel like the last, like, okay, so let's say you're in charge of this conference, and you're like, oh, shit, yeah, I need a little time. Yeah, just get out there and warm them up, will you? Like, the last person you would send out there to just, like, do things live is Christopher Walken. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't let that man have any kind of latitude over, like you edit that man. Like,
yeah. Sorry, second to last person. You already mentioned the last person. Gary Busey.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and Christopher Walken's, like, talented, right? He's, like, he's got an interesting, like, skill, I guess. But he's a loose, like, who knows what you're going to get from Christopher Walken. You have no idea what the man, it must, like, just what a poor choice.
Yeah. Well, I think it's amazing in this day and age, the way television and movies start, like, it started, we watched plays, and then eventually, hundreds of years later, we found the TV, and we're like, oh, we'll do, like, plays on TV. And we're like, hey, you know what's better than that? Let's rehearse this and film it and put it together as a movie and put that on TVs. That's way better. And now someone at NBC is like, you know what we should do? We should go back, like, 100 years and do plays on TV that are way shittier than their movie counterparts.
Right. Like, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No. And I'll tell you exactly. I mean, they being NBC, had huge ratings for Sound of Music. Because Sound of Music, was Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood.
Wasn't that on right after Something Fairly Big or something?
It was, the Sound of Music. It was after the actual Sound of Music movie, and then they aired the play.
Could you imagine spending a day watching the Sound of Music, the Julie Andrews, and then they're like, and now, the encore live version of the Sound of Music starring Carrie Underwood. That is honestly a full day of watching. Oh, God.
Didn't they get this year the sexy woman from Girls?
The
30-year-old good-looking one? From the HBO show Girls?
I was going to pull up the cast, but I...
Yeah, we don't have internet here at Five and Out Studios right now.
Well, it was as we went back to the earlier times of recording plays and putting them on TV in a shitty fashion, we've gone back to the time with no internets.
Where you just sit around going like, I don't know. I don't know who played that.
I have no idea. Yeah, you know, it's my number two more for concept than it is for the actual performance. Like, I guess, you know, I'm sure there's some folks in there that worked their ass off and did a good job. And
absolutely.
It was a big break for them, and that's great. But I just think the idea is we have two mediums, right? We got, apart from, like, reality TV and, like, news and sports and whatever, like, we've got two mediums. We've got film and we've got stage. Like, there's no need to combine those things. Like, if you want to put together an awesome Broadway production of Peter Pan and you want to put Christopher Walken in there as Captain Hook to get some butts in the seats, do it. But don't put that shit on. Don't one and done that shit on my TV.
Yeah.
You know what I do think is kind of cool, though? I've never actually seen one. I've only seen the advertisements for it. I don't know if you guys see it when you go to the movie theater. Whatever chain of movie theaters, they have a, like, they record, or, like, they kind of, like, live stream a production from, like, the Metropolitan Opera or something like that into the movie theater. And I was like, you know what? They're not trying to do a play for TV or whatever, with celebrities in it. It's like, no. You can't physically make it to the Met right now.
Right.
So we're going to put it on this gigantic screen, and, like, we're not going to pretend it's something else. This is an opera. With good, now you can hear it well and you can see it well. Like, here, if you want to watch it, you can. That's okay. I know what I'm doing. This is cool. But the NBC, this thing, like, it's kind of TV. It's kind of live theater. What do you think? I think it kind of sucks.
It's kind of shitty. Yeah, it's just, you know, you can't polish anything, I feel like.
Well, that brings me to my number two.
Great.
Which is the ending to How I Met Your Mother.
I'm surprised this is not your number one.
Oh, my number one's a doozy.
A doozer.
A doozy.
Never watched that show.
Neither have I.
How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you all about it. Spoilers abound.
Season 1, episode 1. Marshall walks into this bar.
That's right. They're all wacky 20-somethings in New York. Okay, season 1, episode 2. No. So it ends with, I mean, everyone's heard it by now. It ends with the mother dying. And then it flashes forward to quote-unquote present day, where Ted's an old man, and his kids are like, Dad, this isn't a story about how you met Mom. This is a story about how you love Aunt Robin, which is his love interest off and on throughout the whole show. And then so he runs to Robin's apartment, where she still lives. By the way, very sad that Robin never moved apartments in 40 years of life.
Yeah. Hey, she got locked in on a good rate and didn't really raise the rent on it.
You turn back once you got it paid off, man.
That's
right. That's right. But yeah, and so, like, he makes one last loving gesture and the show ends. And it was awful. It was terrible. It was super divisive. I remember your wife outcried it, I believe. Or did she like it? I can't remember.
I don't remember. I didn't really talk about it because
I didn't hear of anyone liking it. Did people like it?
I don't know.
Did some people like it?
I always assume someone somewhere, some mongoloid somewhere.
You call my wife a mongoloid? I don't know if she liked it, but don't call her a mongoloid.
I assume that someone somewhere liked it. So, but no one I knew, maybe except for your wife, liked it.
Not. I don't know why you're putting Holly in that category.
I don't know.
Nobody in the world.
Was this early 2014?
Very early 2014.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, it feels like longer than a year ago that happened.
But yeah, I don't know. Like,
I agree. That seemed to be a pretty much universally panned thing. I didn't hear anyone be like, well, guys, if there was, like, there was one sort of, like, and it was a theory. They're like, well, if we take this for truth, then maybe this happens. But, like, it wasn't. It was just like, generally this sucks. But maybe if you could warp your mind to think of it this way, it could be okay. There was that one dude, and then they killed him.
I was just about to say, I was like, if there was anyone that actually liked that ending, they're dead by now.
Oh, yeah. They sent a pack of greyhounds on him, and that's all she wrote. Well, my number two is, it's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit, but it actually incorporates my number three. My number two is I'm going to give a big thumbs down to Sony as a company.
Really?
I almost put them on my top five list.
Sony as a company gets... So, A, they're the ones responsible for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So...
Boom.
Boom already. Also, you briefly mentioned it before, is what we talked about a couple weeks ago with what happened with The Interview debacle, which I was pretty adamant that I thought they should have never buckled to the pressure. I think they should have released it no matter what. They ended up doing it, but they ended up releasing it in this kind of backhanded, kind of cowardly way, I thought, about that release. That it was, guys, we're not going to do it. Some people said President Obama said that we should do it. Okay, well, we'll kind of do it. You should have been strong the whole time and said, North Korea, you ain't going to tell me what to do. I do what I do. And release it in whatever way you could have done it. Also, they had that big data breach again on the PlayStation Network, which affects me because I'm a PlayStation dude, and that's the second time that's happened in, the last 3 years that they've had that breached, on top of the fact that the quote-unquote North Koreans, still undecided if that was actually them, breached into their personal corporate stuff and sent those emails out. And this is all on top of the fact that this year has been a really bad year for video games in general. So the fact that Sony hasn't put a killer game on their brand new shiny system for PS4 yet also is a thumbs down in the general Sony direction. On top of the fact that they also, I believe, isn't Sony responsible for, or is it Fox that's responsible for X-Men stuff? Fox is X-Men.
Fox.
But Sony has some of the Sinister Six stuff.
I'm not sure. I think they have all Spider-Man stuff,
all,
right?
And that's clearly the weak link in this superhero realm that we're...
Yeah. I mean...
So the fact that Sony puts out these shitty superhero movies, that makes me feel less excited for the good ones that DC is doing and the generally okay ones that Fox does. I'm like... Sony, you are really kind of just being a big wet blanket on this whole superhero party right now. So, just in general, it is extremely well documented that Wes and I are PlayStation dudes. My TV is Sony. My soundbar is Sony. I have a PS3 and a PS4 in my house.
We're actually sponsored by Sony, but not anymore. So, thank you, Steve.
I'm a very big Sony supporter in general. But this year, you can go ahead and chalk that one up as a big thumbs down for Sony.
Give them one more year, Steve.
Before
you start chucking things out the window.
Yeah, you know what? My brand new shiny PS4 has a few months left before I will chuck it out the window.
Very good.
Yeah. So just in general, Sony, you got to pick it up, man. You got to pick it up.
Sure.
Damn. And also, so with the PlayStation Plus or PlayStation Network was down for 5 days or whatever it was. Last time it was down for a week or whatever, they gave you 2 free downloadable games and a week back onto your subscriptions and whatever.
Oh, wow.
Because I got Little Big Planet and Infamous from it. This year it was down for 5 days. They're like, we will credit your account 5 days. Well, great. I have a year-long subscription. I don't care about 5 days. You guys gotta and it was over Christmas, the 5 days of Christmas as well. Sony, you gotta step it up and be like, sorry that this is the second time in 3 years we lost all of your information to some random North Korean pirate. here's something better. Something better than 5 days that tallies to $2. If not even two
not
bucks.
Not even that.
Not even $2. So there. Sony, get your act together.
All right. Well, Colin, let us know, what is the worst of the worst?
The worst of the worst is slightly complicated, as you can imagine.
Sure.
And I don't mean to offend anyone, and I don't want you to think that this is just straight up atheism talking here. This is just how I feel. This specifically this movie. I'll lead in with the movie. Specifically this movie scored a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Now, you look at that and you go, that can't be a good movie.
And no.
It couldn't have done well.
No. It cracked the double
digits.
This
movie cracked it took care of a budget of $2 million. It took a $2 million budget and it made $62 million. The nice. Movie worldwide made $60 million in profit. This movie made at a 17% in Rotten Tomatoes, and I'll tell you why. It's because people drank the Kool-Aid. People drank the Kool-Aid, and they paid that money, and they gave this thing $60 million. It's a little movie starring Kevin Sorbo, and it's called God's Not Dead. God's Not Dead.
I have not seen this.
Let's take a little moment of silence. Well, Steve, you don't need to see it.
Okay.
You know, it's
can you give me a general gist of what we're doing here?
Okay, so the premise, and honestly, that's I don't watch films like this, so I didn't. The premise the premise is the point of the number one. I use this film as an example because of the earnings and the pairing of the budget and then the total earnings. But the premise of the movie, which I did see, and the awful trailer, is basically kids in, like, college being told that they can't express their Christian views are getting snubbed. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a God movie. It's a God movie that made a shitload of money.
Sure.
And that happened, and I got a few facts here on my sheet, that happened in Hollywood. God took Hollywood this year.
I've read this.
God took Hollywood this year, and I'm not going to go into Noah and, Exodus?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
It, you know, Exodus is directed by an atheist. So who directed that? That was a Gladiator guy, right?
Ridley Scott.
W.S. Anderson.
Totally atheist.
Some Anderson.
You know, those movies are not... they're not preaching. Like, they're just trying to make money, and I think they're admitting that. Mm-hmm. They're still sneaking some butts in the seats.
And they're taking widely, widely known biblical stories and turning them into action movies.
Yes.
It's like an arc. Sounds like cannons in like World War II to me. What?
Now, there were some real stinkers on this list, including The Identical, which is I don't know if you guys heard of that, at a 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. Left Behind at a 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
2%?
These movies did not do well in the box office, so we'll just move right past this. The two that just kind of blew up as far as their profitability was Son of God, and that took home a $70 million on a $22 million budget. And this one's a real – that one scored a 21%, by the way, on Rotten Tomatoes. And this one, Heaven Is For Real. Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't.
Heaven Is For Real.
I have heard of that, actually.
Was on a $12 million budget and scored $91
million. Wait, wasn't
she?
No, that was the movie about – wasn't it like a little kid that
– Yeah, like a near-death – I think it's like a near-death experience.
He saw God, and he like came back to life. He was like, no, I saw God. God exists.
Yeah.
He told his parents that. That was all over, like, Good Morning America, the Today Show. And I think it was a book, I think, too. Like,
yeah.
Huge publicity tour. You've got Christian beliefs along with an adorable little child. Money in the bank.
Yeah. And I think that, like, so my number one technically is not Kevin Sorbo or God's
Because I'll
dead.
Tell you what, I love me some Kevin Sorbo.
But my number one is the Christianity money making Hollywood scheme that got going on. Because you got people, people like my mother who are like they're like into fucking Hallmark movies and shit, but they go to church.
Yeah.
And they love that, and like you got people like my mom on the phone the other day. She's like, "Man, I really wanted to go see Exodus while I was in Morris. Morris is the town I live. It's like this little town or whatever." She's like, "Really wanted to go see." Listening to my mom say she wants to, I really want to go see 300. You know, like what? Like, what? You know what you're talking about? Like, you just like. I realize that you like the story of Moses and that you love listening to the preach Exodus at church, so, but this is different. Yeah. And they're getting people that wouldn't even normally go to any movies into the theater because it's God, the same way Passion of the Christ did. You know, it's just like
still the highest grossing rated R movie of all time, I think.
Really?
Passion of the Christ, I believe.
I went to that, ate popcorn at it. It was awkward. I was the only one eating popcorn. Apparently, it's not the movie you eat popcorn at.
So your issue is not with like Christianity or the fact that there's movies featuring.
I can't put God's Not Dead as my number one as much as I'd love to because I didn't watch the film. But I do know that this sweeping in Hollywood kind of happened this year. And that's my number one stinker of the year. And I think they really... I mean, as you said, this like wasn't a good year for movies. I guess video games either, but like
it's a bad game for video years.
You know, it wasn't a great year for movies, and this is one of the reasons why.
Man, it's too bad when and this actually kind of touches what we were talking about before, that once one company is like, oh God, we only did a $2 million movie, but we put God and kids in it, and all of a sudden we made $60 million. And someone's like, well, I can make a movie with God and kids. Like, and I'll, sure, here's another $30 million. And everyone just, it's that thing that becomes hot to, and like, obviously the putting, as you mentioned with Passion of the Christ, putting Christ in Christian stuff along with like a fairly decent budget is going to bring people into it. It's like,
sure.
It's just exploiting a group of people that
it's totally and that's why I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to come across as like I hate Christians or I hate you know, it's like it, like they're taking advantage of those people and that I think deserves to be in the worst of 2014.
Yeah, sure, exactly, top of the list.
And it's because what they're what those companies make are movies / films. What Rotten Tomatoes does is rates those things. And if something gets a 17, like if you were going to go buy a car,
right?
And it's like, well, most cars rate about a 75. This car rates at a 17. Would you like to buy it? Absolutely not.
No.
Well, God is involved in this car. I'll take it. No, it isn't. No, it is not.
Well, in Rotten Tomatoes, right? It's like it's not like it's one critic that hates
one dude.
God. It's like it's all these, you know, this combination basically. Yeah.
And they rate it as a film, not as a religious tool or you know like anything else like that. It's just as a film.
They put this page to screen verbatim. Yes.
I wonder what Pompeii got on there. I wish we could look that up.
If only there was there's only some sort of machine that we could find out
and look things up on.
You know, that's a really, really good number one is the exploitation, if you will, of God in film.
I think it's really interesting that a few years ago we were really inundated with all these public domain fairy tales being brought to film, and like most of them were just terrible. So they're like, what else is public domain? The Bible.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's put all this shit on the big screen.
Yeah, man.
And after they're done with the Bible, then the Torah, then the Quran.
Christian Bale is.
You want to make Amazing Spider-Man 2 and take advantage of all the comic book geeks out there?
Yeah.
Like, fine. Go ahead. Like, take advantage of those people.
Fine, man.
That's not what they... Well, I almost wanted to say that's not what they live their lives by, but that's wrong.
That's wrong.
So maybe I don't know where I'm going here. But, like, to take advantage of a person's religion and get them in the seats because of that, I mean... Well, I guess shame on them as well.
Yeah,
for not understanding. But for people like my mother who have no idea like what they're getting into or like what they're, I guess, falling for.
Yeah. Those are not the movies that appeal to me. But I do the same thing where it's like exactly just what I talk about my Amazing Spider-Man 2, where I'm like, well, I heard it isn't good, but I'm going to go see it.
Yep,
so, Exodus. Well, I don't want to see it, but I'm a devout Christian. I know it's about it, so I'm just going to go see it. It's like, say, it's the same idea. So I guess just exploitation and like sweeping trends that Hollywood create just to rake in the money.
Yep. Sure.
I guess.
All right. Well, my number one, I feel like most of my list I've been going solo on. But I feel like if you guys know what my number one, you can come with me. We can all go on a journey of hatred together.
I'm ready to go.
My bags are packed. Wait.
Great.
Let me get a drink of water here.
Grab your popcorn as well. I'm going to go with Gamergate. Do we know what that is?
No.
I don't know what that is.
Great. Unpack your bags. Put your popcorn away. I'm going to try and pare down months of bullshit and do just a few seconds worth of explanation here. It all started with a woman named Zoe Quinn, indie game developer, whose ex-boyfriend was like a video game journalist, and he gave, I'm paraphrasing 100%, he gave her video game a good review, and so that blew up into like sexism in video games, how women are mistreated in video games. How and Anita Sarkeesian got brought in because she's made videos in the past couple of years about tropes versus women in video games, about how like they're always a damsel in distress. There's very few games out there that feature women, and if they do, 90% of them are all sexed up women
with spider boobs
legs.
But it got to the point. Sorry, I love the spider boob motion. It really goes great on the audio podcast.
If you want to do the spider boob motion at home, put your palms out and put it right up by your boobie and just wiggle your fingers.
It's
there
like,
you go.
Just like watching any alien movie and the things that like the egg layer things. Yep. Like just imagine that on a tit.
Yep, and but opposite way. You put your do your fingers on the outside.
There yeah.
Well, there you go. I'm sorry, was you were saying something?
But yeah, it got to the point where these subhuman Morlock people started coming out of their caves and holes in the ground and started posting these women's and a bunch of other people's like personal information, like home address, email address, phone number, and like we're encouraging people to go and teach them a lesson.
What does that mean?
Anita Sarkeesian, I know for a fact, received a bunch of death threats, had to cancel some speaking engagements. It's just bullshit. And can we start talking about spider boobs again? Because that was fun. This is not fun.
That's basically what, so just to recap, what your number one is, it's, you said Gamergate.
Yes.
Okay.
A.K.A. spider boobs.
Okay. AKA spider boobs.
There is nothing worse. Honestly, there's almost nothing worse in the world, without exaggeration, than internet trolls.
Yeah.
There's almost nothing worse than them. And to have them released essentially with all of their powers focused on one to two, to a handful of people, it's no one deserves that.
Yeah.
No one deserves that.
Yeah.
And I feel like sexism in video games is a conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah, but it's not like some sort of ridiculous thing.
Yeah, but it needs to be a discussion, a dialogue, not shouting incoherently and then trying to burn people's houses down or whatever they wanted to do.
And what are they so pissed about? Where it's like, yeah, there's some sexist views in video games and whatever. It's like, you know what? Here's your home address. Teach her a lesson. Teach her a lesson about what? The hell are you talking about?
I just want to bring up some valid points. Oh, kill her.
Why? What? Guess what? Like, God of War is still going to be God of War. Just because she's talking doesn't mean Kratos now has spider boobs and, you know, like, chill out. What are you talking about?
The new God of War. Goddess of War. Kratina.
Same exact, just with pigtails. It's Kratos with pigtails. Gross. That is really unfortunate.
That's my number one, Gamergate.
I will tell you what researching spider boobs on Google is better than. It is better than my number one thing. I just watched this movie this week, but it did come out in 2014. It is purposely one of the worst movies of all time, and that is still no excuse for how bad it is. It's a little ditty I like to call Sharknado 2.
Why? Did you watch this?
Oh, yeah.
Steve.
Why did you watch this?
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm not happy about it either. I've been eating a lot of ham recently.
Oh, God.
So, let me tell you, now with that being said, let me tell you what led to watching Sharknado 2.
Ooh, the foreplay.
Yeah. This is the foreplay. And that was a problem. We're like, the foreplay was excellent. Main course, beyond subpar. So my mom had never seen Guardians of the Galaxy, and she was over a couple, like a month ago.
And she accidentally rented Sharknado 2.
Like, Mom, you're going to love this. What is this? And so my mom came over and watched Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was the second time I've seen it. And so it was my wife Holly, myself, and my brother-in-law was there, and my mom, and we were watching it, and it's just such a goddamn good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Guardians the first time I saw it. Second time, just blew me away by how fucking great it is. It's so good. So we had a couple of drinks. It was on the weekend. We're like, and then like you leave on that high note of watching Guardians. Like, man, that was great. Mom, thanks a lot for coming over. See you later. Let's throw Netflix on. And it was like just added to Netflix. And I was like, oh, my God, Holly, Sharknado 2 is on Netflix. And she's like, why don't you go ahead and press play? Like, we're on that high. I'm like, yeah
let's do it.
It's going to be funny. We're going to watch it. And I was like, she's like, hey, dude, why don't you just go ahead and press play? Come on, let's do it. And we press play, and our lives changed. I'm divorced now. Wes and I and our ladies watched Sharknado together the first time, and it was.
I still have not seen this phenomenon known as Sharknado. Ooh.
If you watch Sharknado, have a couple of drinks with a couple of friends, it's fun. It's so stupid and terrible, but it's fun. Sharknado 2, it's like, oh, you want this to be the worst movie of all time, eh? Well, let's do it. Tara Reid, I think the direct quote from my wife today was, dick shrivelingly ugly. Tara Reid is a goddamn train wreck. She's horrendous looking and even worse acting.
Is this the chick from American Pie?
That's the one.
That's okay. The one, right,
the one that used to be pretty attractive.
Yep.
She's also from Van Wilder.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pretty attractive.
Let herself go, eh?
Oh, my God. Just in, like, she looks as if she has had a skin transplant with a catcher's mitt. Like, she is made out of leather. She's so tanned, but, like, plastic surgery brought everything taut, but it's still kind of loose in some places. Not to mention that she's had a botched boob enhancement, and it's
sounds like my kind of woman, taut but loose.
This is her voice the whole movie.
Yep.
And this weird whisper, but that's only to match her husband in the movie, who's trying to do his best Christian Bale Batman impression the entire movie. The entire movie. There's sharks up in there, up in that tornado. They're coming towards us right now. I'm not the Sharknado killer you need. It's like, what are you doing? You're not Batman. You're a shitty actor that only took this role, as you admitted, so you could have health insurance for your kids.
Why are these people knocking on my door? You know, like, I'll fucking do that
I'll
movie.
Do
I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I'll fucking make the worst movie in the world, but I'm going to act the shit out of that, man.
You know what, though? I don't blame that dude because he knows how shitty the movie is. Tara Reid, you used to be a thing. You suck. Vivica A. Fox is in this movie.
What?
Ooh. Yes. And Vivica A. Fox used to be smoking hot. Smoking hot Vivica A. Fox. Let me tell you who she's been hanging out with. Tara fucking Reid. Because they are two peas in a leather pod.
A leather catcher's mitt pod.
Tara, she's awful. At one point, her underwear is just coming out of the top of her pants. Just yuck. Just fucking yuck.
Oh,
like,
God.
Gross. Jared from Subway makes an appearance in this movie.
No, he doesn't.
Swear to God, he's sitting on a bench in front of a Subway thing, eating a Subway sandwich and gets eaten by a shark. He's in it. The dude from Independence Day.
Everybody wanted a taste.
That's right.
The dude, the father of Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day, the super Jewish dude.
Yeah.
He's the cab driver. Of course he's the cab driver.
Oh, yes, he is.
Wow. There's all these cameos by, like, F-list celebrities that makes Vivica A. Fox look like goddamn Tom Hanks in this movie by the time she shows up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad, and they made it to be bad. they're not pretending to be There Will Be Blood or something here. But it's so insultingly bad for even what they tried to do. Like, you know what, Sharknado? Fuck you. Like, fuck you. And the fact that you brought in Jared and Vivica A. Fox on the same thing. Get out of my life. It's horrible.
Didn't a bunch of people watch this one as well? It didn't. I know it didn't become as much of a phenomenon as the first one was.
I don't know. I know I'm embarrassed by the things that I admitted that I've watched today. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. But it's damn good stuff for this list, I'll tell you that right now.
That's right.
And let me make these mistakes so you out there don't have to.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Hey, I took that bullet. I fell on that sword.
Steve, why don't you go ahead and recap your top five?
I'm going to do that right now. My number five is Pompeii by one of the Andersons.
Oof.
God knows which Anderson. Number four was originally The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Number three was Watch Dogs. Number two was Sony as a company in general. And just threw in a little quick love for the movie Divergent and just Hercules plus, oh, God, got to get a Hercules out too. And they're doing a God movie. Got to get a God movie. Like, just random tag-along movies. I hate them. They're terrible.
Sure.
Terrible.
Colin, your top five?
Folks, just to let you know, the thing called the interwebs is back.
Woo!
So if anyone would like to look up anything like the cast of Sharknado 2.
Don't. Don't
it's
do
here. It's here. And there she is, Vivica A. Fox. Mark McGrath, eh?
Mark McGrath, that's right, from Sugar Ray.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Terrible. He's never even been an actor. He's terrible.
Yep. Judd Hirsch is the name of the actor you're thinking of from Independence Day.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. He's right. Probably the best part of the movie.
Oh, wow.
So, my top five. Number five, the Gary Busey commercial.
Oof.
Number four, Anarchy Afterward. Now, don't be confused. This is not Sons of Anarchy. It's just the talk show they have afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Expendables 3.
Ooh.
Giant turd. Number two, Peter Pan Live, Get Off My Fucking TV. Number one, God Invades Hollywood and Takes Advantage of All the Christians.
Takes Advantage of Your Mom.
Money, 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 money. Give me your Christian money.
Give me that money. Sweet, sweet Christian dollar.
There's nothing more Christian than getting all the money. Anyway, my number five was Ubisoft. My number four was House of Cards Season 2. Sorry, Colin. My number three is the rape scene from Game of Thrones. My number two is the How I Met Your Mother ending. Sorry, Holly. I know that Holly loved it.
I really need to talk to my wife as soon as I get home. Tell me you're not the one person. Tell me it wasn't you.
And my number one is Gamergate. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's extra long episode of the Five and Out. About forgot what our show was called. We've only been doing it for 82 weeks.
As always, Facebook, Twitter, they're right around the corner. They're coming so soon. Resolution for 2015. Got to get that Facebook. Got to get that Twitter.
I want to send a huge thank you to Colin for coming on your Five and Out debut.
My pleasure.
We hope to get you back on in the future because, man, your top five list, sublime.
Sublime.
Thank you, sir. I didn't mean to get too personal with the Jesus stuff.
No,
well,
no.
You are speaking to Jesus.
That's true.
Oh, by the way, that's our big announcement for 2015. Wes is Jesus. We'll be back next week.
If you'd like to set in your top five, because, again, we love hearing what you guys have to say, you can leave a comment here at oneofus.net. You can leave a comment back over at fiveplay.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com. But, Steve, am I forgetting anything?
The only thing we're forgetting is that I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
I'm Colin.
That was five.
And we're out.